Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news, and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State, and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Hello, everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night, I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, the Wiretap, the Millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On Rumble.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Thank you. All right. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer Radio. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. So it is Tuesday. Kayla will join us here in just a few minutes. If you have anything you want to share tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number one on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So, Kayla, welcome in.
Good evening.
All right, so what have you been working on lately?
Well, for the last week, I've been paying attention to mainly the border invasion that's going on. And as of earlier today, 4,200 illegal immigrants are being accepted in New York as a sanctuary state. That's the lowest estimate that I've seen so far. But they're being taken into certain schools and set up in the gymnasium. And they're leaving the schools completely open during this time period when they're going to have the illegals in there, who they aren't even giving court date hearings to until like 2030. So that's a couple of years away. And they just have
that makes sense. And then the paperwork isn't even done right. So, therefore, who even knows if they even have a true court case? Probably not.
Well, yeah, and then you have to wonder, like, are they even going to show up? It's so long away.
Of course they won't. There's no reason to.
No, none at all. They're getting in for free. They're getting, if they do things right, they're getting benefits, free housing. I mean, as I said, they're being put up in hotels. They're being put up in school gymnasiums, which the parents in New York are actually arguing and fighting back on that, which I applaud them 100% and hope they can take their city back. But they're just letting in these people who have no record on them whatsoever when they're coming in here that states if they're good or not. And one of the parents I saw arguing with somebody, they were asked, well, how do you know they have a record? Well, how do you know they don't? And then they said that their family's coming here. And the parents themselves are saying, no, these are all men.
Yeah, what is it, 89% of the illegals so far this year are military-age men traveling alone.
I don't remember the statistic I've seen, but it was over 70, the last one I saw. And that's terrifying, especially when you kind of understand, like, this is an invasion force. This isn't immigrants. This isn't people, asylum seekers, which I'll give Biden that. He kept in line the Trump era, kind of like a law, I don't remember the exact name for it, but where if an asylum seeker goes through another country first, and they don't ask them for asylum in that country, they cannot come to America asking for asylum. They have to go to all the countries they've traveled through first and ask them.
Oh, don't worry. That's not happening. Venezuela basically emptied their prisons and put them on the George Soros paid buses to get in here. So it's not even that. You have people from China who are registered in CCP's army that are getting through. If they're seeking asylum, I do think that there's other countries between China and the United States, especially if they're registered military.
Oh, of course.
So maybe I'm wrong. There's Russians that are trying to get in here. We're at war with Russia, but as long as you show up at the Mexico border, come on in and invade us, please.
Right? Oh, but right now, when it comes to the Russia war that's going on over with Ukraine, I haven't really seen anything in the last week. All I've seen is, surprisingly, but they're throwing it out there, is all the information going on about Hunter Biden and the Biden family being connected to the money laundering through the LLC companies, which are all shell companies. None of them offer anything, which is telling you they're offering the fact that they have presidential leaks or links and vice presidents at the time, well, original time, and Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Let me just share this, Kayla, that people think that other presidents have been the most corrupt ever, but keep in mind, Brandon entered the Senate when he was age 29. So in 1970, he's been accepting money since 1972. So he has become the most criminal operator ever as a president. He has way too many ties.
You're not wrong there at all. I mean, having that amount of years getting to network and socialize. But, I mean, if we're going to go back to then, Biden was actually a lot more grounded than a long time ago. He even warned about Russia and China taking over America. And now he's all for it. He's in their pocket. But he's done a complete 180. But, yeah, I don't understand why we don't have term limits for Congress.
And what's more important is, why is it that we can have a president that is he's completely sold us out? And I'm not advocating for everybody to pick up torches and guns and go stand in front of the Capitol, but at the same time, we're not getting together in the hundreds of thousands or millions to do anything about this either. And it is for reasons like this why the Constitution is written the way it is, that we as the people have a right to overthrow a corrupt government.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't it Benjamin Franklin that said every like 200 years you're going to have to do that anyway because it'll become corrupt?
I don't remember the time frame exactly.
I know one of our founding fathers said that. I don't entirely. So on that particular topic, I feel like we're not organizing correctly because you have so many people who are still obsessed with what's next week's movie. What am I going to do tonight? Am I going to go get drunk and just go have a good time? They're not thinking about actual political. They are completely brainwashed by society with everything we have for entertainment.
I'm going to say, I don't think everybody is... I'm trying to figure out how to word it right. The average person knows something is wrong. The thing is that everybody says, I'm just me. What can I do? That's where we're at. I don't, TV watching is down. Nobody cares about Brandon at all. As a matter of fact, in my personal opinion, I'm almost sold on the fact you're going to see Michael Robinson Obama be president against her wishes. And she is a very nice lady, so I'll give her that.
Well,
I think that's the only person they have that could beat Trump. And you have all these Democrat voters who are basically getting to the point where they're disenfranchised with the Democrat Party because they just don't like Brandon, and they see generally what's going on, and they're starting to ask questions. They're starting to feel it. I'm not saying they completely feel it, but a lot of people out there would vote for Trump if they knew that these next 4 years would have been the way it is. And the only way to backtrack that is you got to put people back in that plantation. And the only way, the only person that could beat Trump is Michael Robinson Obama. And you'll have people coming out of the woodwork who swore off that they would vote Democrat. They would walk miles to vote for Big Mike. So they could say they voted for the first black female, allegedly.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I could see your point on it, and there are a lot.
Oh, I'm not proud of that.
No, I know, I know.
I'm not proud of that. I just know that's where the American public is, and they would think that, well, at least Big Mike doesn't have any baggage. I can't vote for Brandon, and I don't want to vote for Trump, but I'd rather have Trump than Brandon, but Big Mike is Big Mike. I can't turn this down. And they'll just run the same agenda, just that they'll just have a different picture to look at.
Meanwhile, at the end of the day, they're not voting for the first black female president. Still sure she's a nice lady, as you say. But what is the term? Social justice warriors? Is that what you say they would be? People who come out for that? Because
you got the average Democrat voter who, a lot of Democrat blacks right now are being disenfranchised for various reasons, whether it's because the illegals have taken precedence over them or Brandon way under-delivered or they're seeing the taxes or who knows, maybe some of them have seen some of the corruption. Some of them have woken up against their wishes. In any event, they need a big splash, and the Democrat well is basically empty. And Michael, in all his credit, says repeatedly he does not want to run for president, but behind the scenes I hear that he will accept the presidency if he doesn't have to do all the work and his husband can do it. So you'll see a lot of Barry Satoro on a lot of field trips while Big Mike can play the role. That's the only way they're going to sell it to Big Mike. And Big Mike is the only one with an audience. And even though Big Mike has done nothing to prove that they're worthy of a president, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, Big Mike has done nothing. They destroyed our...
No, Big Mike, the main thing that pronoun did was stay out of the public eye for the most part. So as long as that pronoun didn't do anything to ruin their image, that pronoun can come back and rehabilitate the Democrat Party, and it would be seen as a brand new, fresh face, even though it's not.
I don't know. Do you think they would try to throw Hillary back in the ring, too?
Nobody will be able to touch Trump except for Big Mike. Badge... That well is dried up.
I mean, so out of the perspective of how I'm viewing it, when it comes to all of our political figures, they are always televised. And you are right. The Democrats kind of, they're dried up. I haven't seen any that have been glorified the way that they have been in the past, especially heading into a presidential election here in the next year and a half or so.
Well, they might feel confident enough to roll with, they might be hiding with Biden, who knows. But I'll tell you who they don't want is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. If they were smart, they would pivot to him and see where that leads, but they would rather fall on their sword before letting someone who would destroy their monopoly in.
Well,
it doesn't matter that John F. Kennedy right now is polling depending on what poll you read, between 25% and 28%. And he's done nothing but really go on interviews and say that he's running.
Yeah, and then they sit there and also black out part of his interview.
That's what they do. It's not working.
Oh, yeah. They do talk mad crap about him. Oh, with the dossier, or not the dossier, the Durham report that just released, CNN has to choke on their own words and admit Trump was innocent of the Russia collusion.
The Washington Post said that the Durham report is false. And that they're still saying it was Russia collusion.
Yeah, I saw that. I was looking through some articles to share for tonight, and I saw that one, and I was like, I'm not even going to talk about that because they're completely lying. They're not admitting anything. Every other news station is admitting the truth now, but they're not.
Yeah.
What? Oh, that one threw me through a loop because I was just like, I thought they would have integrity enough to at least admit we were wrong, but no, we doubled
down. No, I can't do that. You can't do that in an election year.
And Trump's also filing an appeal for them making him have to pay that woman even though he was found innocent.
Yeah, because he ruined her reputation, even though she's done a great job of ruining her own reputation.
Right. She brought the false allegations up herself. But they're like, well, she's gone through abuse. Like, huh? Excuse me? Please explain this? Ugh. But back to the border crisis with all of this. We, in the Constitution, are promised that our governors, our mayors, are supposed to protect us from invasion. Our president is failing. He has sent the certain amount of numbers, like I think it's like 1,500 army members down to the border to help process them faster, not even to stop them or turn them around. Then you have for New York, they are SOL at this point. They don't have a mayor who's actually fighting for them. They have someone who wants to curate how much they eat and, like, watch over that. But aside from that, he's literally inviting people into luxury hotels, illegal immigrants who have probably not a penny to their name. And he's taking them, again, into schools where they're not going to even have the schools locked up, because if they have the schools locked up while the immigrants are in there, that's basically detaining them. So they're going to keep these schools open even when children are there, so anyone can come and go. You can have any of these immigrants in there being, I don't know, a pedophile or a child trafficker, and they're just going to go and smack someone's kids. It's not like anyone's going to stop them.
Well, yeah, I heard that they're sharing until the end of the school year, and they're going to close some schools down so they could house some illegals. By the way, Mayor Eric Adams announced that he's filling out paperwork for New York City to no longer be a sanctuary city.
Oh, good. But what are they going to do with all the illegals that are there? Where are they going to ship them
to? Good question. But Philadelphia said, we'll take as many illegals as you want to send.
With the possibility of over 14,000 immigrants crossing the border a day.
Yeah.
They're going to be filled up rather quickly because I don't see them being sent anywhere else. People, I hope this is something that triggers enough people to be like, hey, we're being invaded. Do something. But right now, all we see is a lack of actual leadership, a lack of direction, a lack of action.
Yeah, but you're looking at it wrong, though.
How so?
It's meant to make these people look incompetent. And half the population knows that they're incompetent. The other half has no clue, because they don't watch fake news, and they don't care about news. They're basically doing TikTok dances.
Yeah.
So
that part of the population scares me, because TikTok in itself is brainwashing them to everything else.
Oh, I'm just saying that you have it, just because they don't watch the news doesn't mean that they're watching CNN. It means that they're not taking part in a thing. They're oblivious. They could have a meteor fall on a town 30 minutes from them, and they would have no clue.
I mean, you see with chemtrails, they don't look up in the sky, so I doubt they would look up to see that, too. But I'd say you're definitely not wrong there. They are, you can mention something, just the tiniest little bit of information to someone who, even if they don't watch the news all the time, as you stated, basically TikTok people, you can mention one thing that's actual factual stuff, and they're just going to brush it off or look at you like you're crazy. And
yeah.
I feel like I'm in a different unit sometimes with these people.
No, but a large amount of the population doesn't vote. They brag about not voting. And so they don't pay attention to the news. They figure that whatever everybody's going to do, they're going to do with or without them. So that's one reason why they get away with so much, is because of the apathy. Nobody cares.
I wonder if that has anything to do with the fluoride in the water. Also, it just
they couldn't even spell fluoride.
Oh, probably not. But I've had a friend before, and we've had this discussion actually over not voting versus voting, and they said, well, not voting is my vote. I'm not voting for the system because I don't support any of these people. While I can understand that point of view, I also understand you not voting and trying to find something is also you not actually actively being part of your community, not actively being a part and being able to take place in something not everywhere in the world yet. If you do not
see, my answer to that though is that as far as not voting, if you don't like Brandon and you don't like Trump, then find a third party candidate so that your vote in another election will make a difference. If everybody just voted a third party as opposed to throwing their vote away, if that's how they felt, they'd be a lot better off. But people don't see that.
No, I agree on that end. When it comes to the third parties, though, when I first started out voting, I was Democrat through and through because I was raised, that's what I believed. I was wrong, obviously. But third parties, I started to get into, and they're supposed to get 5% of the vote in order for 5% of the vote in order for them to be put on like actual stage and be able to present what they want. I genuinely believe the third parties have been suppressed for a very long time. The amount of people who talk about third parties, yet we still don't see them equally represented. There's no way that the cheating has not also involved missing third parties.
All right, hang on. I got to get rid of this dog. Go on for a minute. I can't have the barking right next to my door here.
No, completely understandable. But I don't know about everyone out there that's listening tonight, but I've tried to actually go in and vote the Green Party, Libertarian, Modernist. Like, I've been through these different things, and none of them ever even get close to 5% of a vote, which makes no sense. If everyone out here is talking about well, I don't want to choose the lesser of two evils because they're so evil. I'm going to go vote third. How is it that we still haven't seen them equally represented? How are they not being upheld the same? And the only thing that makes sense is that their elections are being stolen just the same. And with them being the third party, it would be a lot easier to kind of, I guess, sweep them under the rug and make people still think we live in this red and blue paradigm and not letting in anything else. But that kind of brings me to, on the election fraud stuff, back to Durham report, basically confirming Hillary Clinton was part of throwing all of that, which is just everyone who's been researching already knows Clinton is part of that little cabal, whatever you want to call them, deep state.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was shocked.
No, not anyone who's actually been paying attention. Although there are people that I know who wholeheartedly still support her, and I don't think they've even watched anything from CNN about the report.
Well, they don't have to.
Well, no, because they know better, even though they don't do any elective research. But they know better. Because in their mind, they're smarter and they just understand stuff without ever even researching anything. But I don't know.
Well, that's how it works. If you're a liberal, then you automatically just know.
But at the end of the day, this is the biggest point. Like, making elections for governor and stuff, that's supposed to be going on, what was it, the other day or today, something tomorrow, at least in my area, I'm not sure who's won, but those elections are completely covered, you don't hear anything, covered isn't like hidden more so than like covered in public, but you don't have much truth being presented to you. You only get certain people. And when you want to try and break that mold, you can't. The entire system is stacked against us. And unless we organize correctly, it's going to stay that way. So I guess the only thing to really do is we need to start organizing. Like, I'm trying to convince my dad and my mom to go with me to the town hall meeting every month just so we can get on the docket talking about chemtrails that are over our house every day. But in their minds, well, we're only three people. We're just three voices. What are we going to do? If we go and we speak about this topic in front of these people at these places, more people are going to be aware that this is an actual situation. So we need to organize. Go to your town hall meeting. Actually be heard. Don't just sit there and let it happen and say, someone else is going to take care of this. Someone else will do this. But then with that in mind, I also think about the Revolutionary War. Wasn't it only about 3% of actual Americans that fought the British for freedom? Like only 3% of us or something?
Yeah, but I do think, though, that we're going to need more than 3% this time around.
Oh, no, I completely agree. I do, sadly. But hopefully we can get enough people out there to start bringing these issues to people's attention in a more local way while being able to speak about this on a podcast or a radio show that reaches a lot of people. It doesn't have the same effect as if you are in your hometown talking to your neighbors about it, like in an actual professional setting, I guess, with the court system or the town halls. it has to be addressed more publicly. It has to be addressed by the people that we supposedly elected. Or maybe I'm just thinking wrong on how this needs to be handled. But that's the only way I see this getting better.
Hey, speaking of elections and such, I did not even know that you guys had a primary today.
Yeah, it kind of just popped up. I saw it the other day, and I was like, wait, that's happening now? I thought that was going to be, you know, later on. But no, everyone's continuously pushing for Dieters, and I don't want to get in trouble, but I'm not supporting him for personal reasons. So I'm
I don't know
leave it
any
there.
Candidate, one or the other, so.
Well, yeah, you live somewhere else, so that's completely understandable.
But Daniel Cameron won. Dieters finished fourth.
Dieters did what?
He finished fourth.
Good. I know he was out there trying to do like, oh, I support Trump and do all that rallying. I guess I'll say this since he's not going to be governor and I don't have to worry as much. But due to personal family things, I know for a fact that that man is money hungry. And that is all I'll say. He had a chance to be a lawyer at one point for our family for a medical situation. So I'll say a little more. But didn't because there wasn't enough money to be made into it. So I didn't want him because I didn't trust anything the man said from the get-go. So I'm very happy to hear Dieters didn't make it.
So Daniel Cameron was endorsed by Trump. And he
well,
got
okay.
about 47.5% of the vote.
Part of me wants to be happy, and part of me is like, what if we're just walking headlong into another trap of some sort, like our current government? That's what that is. And everyone wants to support Trump. Trump is awesome. He hasn't done everything correctly. I mean, he's done a lot. He has done quite a bit. But there's just some things, like, again, with the death jab, I don't agree on the fact that those have been pushed.
You talking about Daniel Cameron?
Huh?
You talking about Daniel Cameron?
No, Trump.
Oh.
I'm like, what if he's an in-the-dark part of this cabal system who is leading us down a path we think is better, but in the end might be worse, if that makes sense? It's just something.
Yeah, but I think that they've spewed so much hate that it would be impossible for them to say that it was rigged.
That's true.
They've never gone after somebody like this before. I'm 50 years old. I've seen many presidential candidates, and they've never gone this hostile with somebody before.
I can't say I've seen it either. I mean, I know growing up, for me, it was everyone hated Bush. Everyone hated him.
Oh, I know, but when Bush was done, they let go of him, and now they actually like him.
Yeah, and then Trump, however, they're still attacking him every single day. In new ways. So, I mean, I do see that. But I guess part of me is always worried, is that just a dog and pony show kind of thing? Like, look at this. We hate him. So you have to like him because we hate him. It's just something that occasionally crosses my mind. So I just want to, I don't know, someone to talk to who might be able to give me a different perspective. I do.
I'm not going to. He hired a bunch of people that gave him bad data, and
oh, yeah.
He let Jared Kushner become a little too close, which is his son-in-law, and Jared Kushner's best friend in the whole wide world is Alex Soros, who's George Soros' son. But we've been promised he's not part of the administration this time around. So I don't know. I just don't think that you would humiliate someone that badly for 7 years, and at the end of the day, you're just doing it for a pony show. I don't see it.
Well, then I'll have some faith in and hope in that. And it's just something that...
Now, at the same time, he can bring somebody into his administration that we don't appreciate.
100%. I mean, look at Mike Pence. I don't think anyone actually wanted him or cared about him.
No, I met him once doing a show here in Las Vegas, and I was not all that impressive. I was not that impressed.
The type of vibes you get off of him.
Just a standard politician.
Okay. Nothing special, nothing to look at, which is kind of how he was during the whole presidency. I don't think he ever did anything. So my friend that I was talking to you about who works for the Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health, who works with the homeless, she is willing or ready to call at 10. If you're up for that, I'll let her know.
Repeat that. I was trying to hear you.
She can call in at 10.
And do what?
Talk about
your friend's call. That's cool. I just thought that there was a purpose.
I was having her come on because she wanted to talk about how messed up the system is from her standpoint working with the homeless, how they...
Okay.
The misuse of, I guess, funding, how things are spent, how little help they actually get, about the health crisis going on with the majority of the homeless people she actually works with. It's really bad. So if you're okay with that, I'll let her know to call in here in a few minutes.
Oh, any of your friends can call in. I just thought, like I said, I thought you had a purpose, so I was just asking.
Okay. Yeah, there is a purpose. I'm actually kind of curious with her job if she's going to have an increase in helping the illegal immigrants here anytime soon. Which I'm curious how that would go over.
Okay. So, while we have a break in the action quickly here, you know what it's time for.
Oh, Broccoli Man?
Yeah, and you have two episodes because we didn't have a show last week because I was sick.
I know I saw the one that you sent to everybody. I saw that one, and it was quite interesting. I didn't know there was one previously.
All right, so let me give you this one here. This one's with the wiretap. It's the social credit score.
Check out that one. Loading it up.
Okay,
ready to go.
All right, so we'll go ahead and loaded up here. So, and we'll get both the broccoli mans out of the way, and then after that, if your friend calls in, we can go ahead and take their call after we get the second episode done.
Okay.
All right. So, social credit score featuring the wiretap. 3, 2, 1, action.
Hold it right there, green dude. You are hereby detained by me, sir.
Why is whenever I go someplace, I keep running into you?
That's because I followed you, sir. You damn did travel without having a social credit score.
I travel through a private jet. Superheroes do not need social credit scores to travel.
I disagree, sir. You have a zero credit score as you have not provided a cell phone number yet. You are actually in the negative green, dude. You support Donald Trump and Robert F. Kennedy. Plus you have never even once shown anyone your junk in public. Now, let's get you into that TSA naked body scanner, sir.
We all know that is a big fat no.
We'll know. That is a big fat yes. Now let's get you to remove said clothing and place those articles of clothing right next to my person.
Anyway, nice seeing you. Now I have places to go and other people to talk to instead of you.
Are you that much of a fool, sir? I have not released you from my custody, green dude.
You can tell G-Lobalist I said he can shove his cashless society up his...
That was the wrong choice of word, says green dude. Now I am forced to take it to the local elementary school. We need to select some top quality children to read and perform sketches from the Chelsea Clinton supported book Gender Queer. It is a new benchmark for quality education to childrens.
That's it. Now I will arrest you for child endangerment.
That is it. Now I will arrest you for not willing to diddle childrens. Why are you so much of a buskill and a biznitch? You have to get with the times, green dude. By the way, sir, we are also coming to remove your home appliances. We are now going to start banning dishwashers, washers, dryers, and air conditioners. It's about time we force you nincompoops and fuss budgets to live like it is the year 1599. That is why you shall require a microchip on your person and a Lysnica Freedom microchip. We need to control you 99% dolts and something luck heirs. We have had enough of your so-called freedoms. Now you shall see how us globalists can enjoy our freedom while showing roughly 8 billion of Earth inhabitants extreme pain and micromanaging. By the way, green dude, you are losing about 75 social credit points for not having a bloody scam on that face. You now have enough negative points for me to place you in that FEMA camp. That definitely does not exist.
Look, all I know is you are being arrested for being involved in child trafficking.
Ha ha, green dude. Like anyone bloody cares what you say. If you arrest me, then G-Globalist will simply pull some strings and then we just finna go and arrest you again. By the way, you have not removed one stitch of clothing. Why do you not respect trans people and authority, green dude? Is it because I am a black trans?
What you do with adults, I do not care. I get involved when you involve yourself with children. Leave the kids alone.
That is too bad, sir. That is how you make sure you will never see the light of day ever again. It is a trans world right now, green dude. Without being a trans, you will never ever in your life had an above average social credit score.
You are not a trans. You are not whacking your testicles off. You are not transitioning to a girl. You are just a creepy dude that literally have sex with anything and everything.
How dare you offend me, sir? It is not my fault I have not sexed with you yet. You will not let me even see your kumquat or your monkey. I can't help about the shape I'm in. I can't sing. I ain't pretty and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to. Oh well.
Okay, let's get you arrested.
But green dude, why art thou not finna show me said kumquats? We need to make sure you are showing them directly to the children so you can have some semblance of a social credit score. I promise I will only make a couple of TikTok videos of your junk and we'll dance the funky chicken next to it. I know how to make it go viral.
That is something that is definitely not happening, dog.
That is something that is definitely happening, dog. You will finna stop listening to Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, and Proof Negative. Every time you turn on their channels you shall lose 100 points.
We need to stop letting the globalists run our lives.
You need to let us globalists run your lives. By the way, green dude, you can collect a one-time 55 social credit score points if you allow us to put a camera inside your shower. This way we can watch you lather up those delicious kumquats. We can also make sure we're using GMO soap and not an organic soap. All organic products are considered taboo and will bring you a worse credit score.
Anyway, when these globalists kill off the banks and force you into the cashless society, it will hurt in the beginning. If we all just say no and keep using cash, there is nothing they can do. If we submit to a microchip and a cashless society, then humanity will be completely dead. That is their goal.
You need to zip it right this instant, green dude.
Anyway, check out the Proof Negative radio show. Get yourself educated. Go to freedomizerradio.com and check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof will keep you up to date on all the latest in globalist news. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and there is a schedule on the website for all the other shows on freedomizerradio.com.
You keep stepping in it. Stop promoting freedomizerradio.com. You need to let people become zombies so we can depopulate the earth, sir. Bill Gates is the undisputed king of depop. No one can touch us globalists, so you best just give up your miserable lives and let us do what we bees finna do anyways.
Alright, so let's get this second one out of the way and then we'll pick up your friend who's calling in.
Okay. Just want to say that particular one that you just played, I feel like covers exactly how the social credit system would go.
I thought so. Thank you.
Thank China already put people's faces on there. I'm loading.
Yeah.
It's finished.
All right, so let's get this May debate out of the way. And I just barely had enough memory to get this far. If I had another 30, 40 seconds of this of dialogue, it would have crashed. I had a lot going on in this one. All right, so let's go ahead and get this done here. 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our debate tonight. I am Amanda, your impartial debate host. We will discuss a bunch of topics and tell you how to think. We have the absolute wrongest view ever. Mr. Broccoli Person?
You mean Broccoli Man. My name is Broccoli Man.
Shut up, you something ducker. Quit proving you are racist and genderist. Only bigots still have a gender.
Yes, we are all loving and liberal around here.
I don't believe I have to stand next to white peoples on this biznitch.
We have the liberal point of view who are somewhat correct in their thinking. And we also have the best point of view. We have the founder of Lysenike Pharmacia Dickles and the Freedom Microchips, Mr. Geolibalist. He's with one of his superheroes. He also runs the Goon League, the superheroes of the 1%, the only superheroes that actually matter. The wiretap. I said we have G-Lobulus and the wiretap.
Bruh.
I hate all of you something duck cares. I hope you all get one of my gene therapies and die.
That was a very good motivational speech, Mr. G-Lobulist. Okay, our first question tonight. Should trans men be allowed to play in women's sports? Let's get the ball suit wrong answer out of the way first. Broccoli person, you can tell us the wrong answer first.
Well, first off, my name is Broccoli Man. Second of all,
we are going to move over to the liberals in the middle.
You did not even let me talk.
So what, green dude? No one bloody cares.
Martha, can we have Mr. Broccoli Mouth's own shot here for this debate? He just needs to stand there with his hands over his junk while the grown adults do all the talking.
And as a matter of fact, why is he allowed a tickles of clothing to join this debate? We all previously agreed he would be required to show his junk on national television.
I think it is only fair that I could do women's sports if I say I'm trans.
I also want to do women's sports. I am trans and also I am a vegan. I drink enough Bud Light to help them stay in business. Good on them for giving Dylan Mulvaney a voice.
But how can you be a trans if you are not having anything whacked off? You have no plans to remove your junk, so what are you transitioning to?
That was very offensive, green dude. How dare you say offensive language on live TV, sir?
We are very happy to have trans men compete in women's sports. It will help women realize their places in the kitchen. Men are superior to women in every way, including being a woman.
I bet Broccoli Person is so dumb, he thinks he knows what a woman even is.
Okay, next question. Some states now take children from the parents if they do not allow their children from doing drag queen shows or getting a sex change. Do you feel that is appropriate to have kids at any age being taken away from their parents for not participating in this? How about you liberals?
Absolutely. It is about time that we stand up for kids' rights to dance naked on stage and make that money in front of drunk men.
I am so glad we can break down these social walls. It is high time I stop getting arrested for finding young toddlers to diddle. Parents should not have any right to tell me I cannot have my way with their child.
I say whatever helps us depopulate the Earth. If it means we have to sacrifice today's youth so we can get Earth's population under 500 million so we can control everyone in the 99%, then I am in favor of it.
You are right again, G-Lobulist. It is a good thing you sponsor this debate. Our last question tonight. If California is defaulting on their debt of $18 billion, is it fair for the state to announce they are going to spend $500 billion annually on slavery reparations?
I don't care who pays for it or what happens to whose economy. You all just need to give me my VAT tax. I don't care if all the white peoples pay for it. I need mine, and that is every single year, not just that one time bullish.
I think it is only fair. I was born the wrong skin color so I could be forced to pay. But at least I get my stipend for leasing a trans.
I also get a trans stipend. I am also a vegan who shows my junks to the kids. I am very happy that I will be forced to eat Z-bugs and own Z-nothing. Only the 1% should be allowed to own things.
You are a bunch of fools if you think that these black people will get anything from us. We'll just collect the monies and create bureaus to put the money into. That $500 million annually might be in reality only a couple hundred dollars to every black resident. And then they will pay taxes on it. But they will not bloody care because it is liberal.
As long as I get mine, I will always vote Democrat. We are loving and liberal up in this place.
But who is going to pay for it?
No one bloody cares, sir. Now how many bloody timers must we tell you to zip it? Zip it good. When a problem comes around you must zip it.
I want to shoot that Mr. Broccoli dead right now. Maybe Anne be talking here so we can get rid of what is wrong with America today.
Good thinking, G-Libelist. This debate tonight was brought to you by Liza McPharmaceuticals. Just because the COVID emergency is over does not mean you need to stop getting your gene therapy. You also need to get a Freedom microchip and also purchase a Liza McPharma suicide pod. Until next time, good night everyone.
All right, so I hope that was okay.
I'd say so. I mean, it covers so many of the topics.
Yeah, it dragged down the memory when I had so many people up on the stage talking and doing things. And you like the pictures in the background, too?
Oh, yeah, the very nice lady. Yeah, I do like that picture. So on the first one that you played, I just want to, as I said, what they already do in China, put people's faces up on actual TV talking about they have a low social score.
Right.
They're taking away their cash, like everything. And I think you covered that perfectly.
So, by the way, you have a friend that's joining us, if you want to introduce them in.
So this is my friend Danielle. She works for GCB, which is a Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health. She works with the homeless community right now. She's gone from being homeless herself to helping them. And she's someone I truly do see doing great things with her life. But she wants to come on and actually kind of talk about what she does with the homeless, how she helps them, but she also wants to highlight a few things that she thinks our system does not do well at all.
Hi, guys. How are you? Hello?
Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you? So, as Taylor said, I do work for GCB. So the program I work for is called PATH. It's Projects to Assist Transitioning with Homelessness. So what we do is we go out into the community of Hamilton County and we service people who are street homeless, sleeping outside. We get them connected to mental health services. We get them connected to housing referrals, and we get them connected to any other resources they might need, whether it be primary care doctors, dentists, if they need a specialty doctor, we get them referred to the clinic that we work through a lot and get them referred out to the specialists and stuff they need to see. We work with St. Vincent de Paul, Goodwill, Salvation Army, the VA, a lot of different places, but we focus mainly on outreach, and we work with people. It's a very interesting job. I've been chased out of the library. I've been cussed out a few times, but these people are people who are experiencing, like, no stability, no safety, no money to provide for themselves. They're literally using resources that this city and other places provide for them. It's a very rewarding job. I've actually gotten a few clients housed since I've been there. I've been there for a little over a year and a half now. But getting the clients housed is my favorite part because the look they have on their face when they get to sign their lease and get their keys and then or even just taking them to look at the apartment. I remember the first client I got housed, he didn't even all the way step in. He got matched to a place that provides, like, group home settings. So it was his own room, but he shared the common areas, like the bathroom and the kitchen, which he was cool with. He didn't even step all the way in the room, and he was like, I'll take it. But he calls me all the time and he tells me how he's doing good. Where I see the system failing a lot is they don't tend to help people. If you don't have a severe mental health case like schizophrenia, or you have severe manic depressive disorder, or like if your mental health isn't so bad that like they feel like you need somebody to talk to on a weekly basis, or you need to take medicine to balance yourself out, you really just kind of get pushed to the side. Like you don't get any. But those people also need people just because their mental health isn't the, like, to that par or that high of a level of concern doesn't mean they shouldn't be, like, I watch us house people and then we don't teach them anything. Like, we also work with people who are in shelters, but what we do with the people in shelters is a little different. We just get them connected to mental health services. But I watch as, like, some of these men have been in these shelters for 6 months. They don't pay a bill. They don't know what it's like to get an electric bill knowing they have to pay that bill. They don't get a water bill. Somebody else pays that. Like, they're in a building. All that's taken care of. They get breakfast, lunch, and dinner fed to them. So they don't know what it's like. So we don't teach them how to go from not having to do those things to doing those things. And then we just put them in an apartment and we wonder a year from now, 6 months from now, 7 months from now, why they're being evicted again, or they're being put out of these settings that they've been put in. But because they don't know, they're so used to somebody else and they have nobody, they weren't mentally unstable enough to get some sort of case management. So they just kind of get left to the side, and then they start to struggle, and they don't know what to do with themselves. So I just feel like that's one area that we really, like, should probably take a look at, like, not just because you don't have mental health or just because you're not addicted to drugs. There's some other issues going on there that needs to be utilized. Counseling services right now, counseling services waiting lists are crazy. Like, clients are having to wait 6 months to get a counselor because counseling services are just, like, that backed up from people just wanting to have people to talk to. And it's just mind-blowing. And then you have the housing side of it is not easy because a lot of landlords don't want to take vouchers anymore. So it's a win-lose. Like, we have a lot of great programs. Some people don't know about these programs, but you also have places coming in and buying the buildings and jacking up the rent to $1,500, knowing that some families can't afford that. So before you know it, you've got people being outside because they can't afford the new rent that the landlord has imposed on them as to where before they could afford where they were living. You also just, people don't stop to realize that sometimes people really do crazy things when it comes to their safety and the love of their family. Like, I've came across a client, him and his family up and packed all their stuff and moved out in the middle of the night because somebody got shot in front of their house and they were scared. They literally forced themselves to be homeless just because of they felt unsafe in that place. Instead of staying and trying to find somewhere else safe to move to, they put themselves in a riskier position.
How do you help those people that you mentioned earlier that get thrown out because they don't know how to take care of their bills and stuff, and the stuff gets raised? They just end up right back in your role, basically, customers?
So the clients, my clients, the people that I get, I try to work with them really closely. If I try to encourage all of them, I always ask, like, what do you guys want to do with yourself? Do you want to go back to school? If I get some of them that say they want to go back to school, then I give them resources like the Brighton Center, which is located in Newport, Kentucky. They have the Center for Employment Training where you can get human resources training, your health technology training, where you can go be a medical biller and coder, or your medical assistant, or they have another program called Trades for Success where you can go and learn a trade of electrical. I think they do plumbing and something else. But you can go there. So I always refer my clients to them if they seem interested in that. There's also a program in Cincinnati called Urban Leagues. They kind of do the same thing, but their programs are built, I think, more around like office work. So with my clients, I always try to make sure they have the resources. And then as we're getting closer to them being housed, I always ask them if there's anything that is making them nervous about having their housing. And if they come back and tell me, so like, say they'd be like, yes, I'm worried. What if I forget to pay a bill? I'll give them an idea of like, well, this is how you can keep your bills, and try to give them ideas on how it would help them to be able to stay stable and stay in that apartment or that house or whatever they get put into. I also, with our program, once the client becomes housed, we have to exit them out. I always tell my clients, even after they're exited, they can always call me if something's wrong. If I can't help them, I'll get them to a resource that I know that can. And I always make sure I give them resources that I feel like they might need throughout their time after they've been disconnected from the program.
So you said that you guys mainly focus on people with mental issues?
Yes, so that's the main focus. Our main focus is for the mental health side for GCB, because that is what our focus is the mental health. I mean, we do focus on it a lot, but we also focus on substance use. We have a lot of different programs for that. I did not realize how many programs we have. I'm still learning programs, and I've been there a year and a half. But their main focus is getting everybody back to that mental stability and getting them into stable housing. But the crisis we're in right now all over the country for stable housing is just a scary thought. Like, people are not being able to afford regular rent for places that used to be $800 and $900. Now they're wanting $1,200 and $1,300 because of inflation or whatever else they're saying is causing these influxes and in all these prices of things, whether it be car insurance, groceries.
Well, that stuff's only going to get worse. They're talking about Janet Yellen, which is talking about the, if they don't pass this bill that's coming, if they don't raise the debt ceiling limit, we're going to be defaulting on a lot of things, which is going to raise credit cards and all of that. It's only going to get worse. But I was curious, what would you say the ratio is between the people who are mentally unstable versus the ones that you guys do take?
To be honest, that's kind of hard because I tend to notice a lot of my clients are more, either they have, whether it be alcohol use, drug use, or some sort of mental health use or mental health issue. It's really hard to tell because my caseload right now, I have like 60 people. Out of that 60, you probably have at least half of them that either have some sort of alcohol abuse or drug abuse, and the other 15 probably have some sort of mental, or they all have mental and, like, I do a lot of co-treats. I get a lot of people who have both. They have some sort of, whether it be drug or alcohol abuse with the mental. So that is a really hard number to, and you, there's five of us on my team. So out of the five of us, we all probably have, some of us, I probably have 60. It just really depends. I'm not going to lie. I feel like a lot of the people we deal with have a lot more mental, or they've just been through things and they haven't dealt with it. You know, generational curses do exist. People don't like to talk about those, but they do exist because, you know, back in the day, people didn't talk about mental health for real. People pushed it to the side. They locked people up in asylums, and we've seen how that worked. That didn't work out very well. So now these people don't have places to go because them places really don't exist. Yeah, you might have some behavioral health. They only keep people for so long, and then they have to send them somewhere else. And then before you know it, these people are being hopscotched around, and then the next thing you know, they end up back outside, and now people like me are dealing with them, and we're getting them the help they need, but at the same time, they need that stable place to stay. But you also have to be concerned, like, if I put this person in an apartment, are they going to be able to maintain that apartment? Are they going to be able to maintain their stability and be able to keep going forward? Or in 6 months, am I going to go back outside and find them under a bridge somewhere? That's where I feel like there's not. Some cases, they get that gap. But then again, that gap fails because case managers are overworked. If you have a case manager who has 40 clients, how do you suppose that case manager is going to see all 40 clients? Not saying they have to see them every week, but how do you suppose they see 40 clients every 2 weeks in a two-week time period if you only work 5 days and you only have so many hours and you want them? But case managers are... A case manager's job description is you do things with the clients. You make sure their rent's paid. You make sure their bills are paid. You take them to the store if they need it. You take them to the laundromat if they need to go. Like, you literally do errands. It's almost kind of like a CNA job without being the CNA. You don't do the nursing part of it. So you got them doing that, but they have to do that with all 40 of these people, but you want them to do it in a 10-day time period. No offense to anybody, it's not possible. Like, you sometimes miss on seeing clients, or you do see the client, but it's not for as long as you would like it to be, and you're, like, literally stopping by, like, hey, here's the things you asked for. All right, I'll see you next time, or call me and we'll talk. Like, I don't think people realize how overworked a case manager is and how underpaid they are. And it's not even, for me, it's not even about the pay. It's about helping the people and being great and doing great things for our community, because we are experiencing such a high risk of homelessness and things like that. But it's also the fact that... You want these people, some people don't want homeless people around, and that's what we're missing. We need that. So think about it. Back in the day, we had the asylums people put their families in. It didn't work out. But if we could restructure the asylums to make them more like an apartment community, why couldn't we do that? You want to know why? Because nobody in the communities wants people with mental health problems living in their communities. I have been doing research on it, and literally, I can't remember the name of it, but there was a community that went to the town hall meetings and was like, no, you're not putting that here. They were going to buy land, and they were going to build a building, and it was going to be apartments, but these apartments were going to be specifically for people with mental health. There was going to be, like, case management and different things there on facility, and the people of the town were like, no, we don't want them here, which is saddening because people complain we should do something about the homelessness, but then when you try, the people are who stop it.
And as you said, you guys are also underpaid and overworked on top of communities not really wanting the people there in the first place. What are some ways do you think it could be improved upon? And or how
To be improved on, I definitely think we need, first of all, we need a bigger team than what we have now, because there's definitely a need for it, because obviously people are experiencing homelessness in this day and age at a high rate. Two, what I think they need to do is allow for people who have ideas that don't know how to get these ideas out, allow those people to come and be a part of different things, because there are people like me who, I want to build resources like this. I want to do the apartment buildings with the, for the mentally unstable. But I also want to do programs for people who are getting out of incarceration from being incarcerated 3 years on upon end. Because a lot of people, I think, have it fixed in their head. The people who are homeless are, oh, they're just druggies. They don't want to get clean. Or, oh, they're just crazy people. No, it's not just that. Some of these people are military vets who just haven't got the right mental health treatment. So they're suffering from their PTSD and their traumas from school and all that. And once you get them in a stable place, you see them change and you see them start working on learning how to deal with what they've been going through. Excuse me. And they start to be able to be a part of society again. They're not the crazy person you see dancing on the sidewalk begging for change anymore. They're a person who just was lost and needed help. So I really feel like more resources, like housing definitely is one, but something that's geared toward people who have made mistakes in the past, because no offense to anybody, there's not one person on this planet that is perfect. Let's go digging in our politicians' closet, because they will find some skeletons, I promise you. Let's go digging in our NBA basketball stars' closet. You'll find some skeletons. I mean, no one on earth is perfect. If you can find me a perfect person, bring them to me and I'll give you some money, because you're not going to find them. Everybody in life has made mistakes and gotten to where they are in life for that, for a purpose. So, yes, people have made mistakes. Yes, you have people who have killed people. Yeah, some of us might not agree with, oh, well, that person took somebody's life. We might not agree with that, but that wasn't our road or our path to go on in life. The things we go through in life is what makes us. So these people who are experiencing homelessness, they might be lost and broken now, but when they get housed and they get themselves together, they become this person that they were meant to be, and then they go out and they can help the next person. And that is something that I love seeing, because the homeless people are the most willing to give people I've ever met in my life. My clients, I don't know how often they eat or when they do get a hot meal, but when they have some money, my client the other day was like, come on, take me to Wendy's, I got some money. I was like, okay. He was like, what do you want? I'm buying. I was like, no, you're not. I'm not taking your money. They're just the most willing, even though they don't have nothing themselves. They are willing to give it. So I just feel like we need to be willing to give back. Our humanity needs to be fixed in our world so badly. We all just need to start, like, free hugs. We already do that, but we need to do it more. Like, people just need to learn to love each other, because back in the day, we used to get along. Like, we didn't have the bickering back and forth about how somebody who's standing on a street corner shouldn't be there because they're asking for some change because they just want a beer, or whether it be they want to buy a cheeseburger, or they shouldn't be getting the police caught on them because they're up under a bridge sleeping at night because they don't have anywhere else to sleep because the shelters are full, or there's not any other shelters that'll accept them. Yes, I do understand we have our few that do get themselves in trouble, But those people are the people who need the most help. They're the ones that really need, like, all the support they can get. Like, some people aren't ready to admit they have issues. And that is one of the things that I always, like, being a part of my team, I have to tell them, like, you cannot force somebody to get mental health help. They have to be willing to want that on their own. You can go talk to them, build a rapport with them. Once you get them to that point, then you can, but you cannot force somebody to get mental health help. Trying to force somebody to get mental health help will run them down the wrong path further than bringing them to the light where you're trying to get them to go, for them to be the best version of themselves. And then trying to get somebody who is using and abusing, trying to force them to get clean is just going to force them to use more. So that is always my biggest thing. I don't never force her, you got to get mental health help for me to help you. I don't, like, I've met some people, they will not talk to me. I just constantly went around knowing where they were going to be at. They kept seeing my face. One of them literally took me months. The first time I met him, he was so drunk he don't even remember meeting me, but then kept going around. That man's now housed, so it's just like, we just need more resources, like, and the resources we have, we are so, some of us are short-staffed or we're back to staffing, but now our numbers are seeing increases, so we just need more, like, we have the Mary Magdalene House that gives out clothes to people, they can come there and take showers, but that's for downtown. What if you're out in, like, Springdale, Cleves, Ohio, the East End, and you don't have any bus fare? How do you get out here to take showers? So how, that's the real question. How can we utilize more of the budget that I know that Hamilton County gets to utilize that money to help the areas that are outside of downtown who can utilize the resources that are downtown? And that's what I'm working on. I'm working on trying to get a shower bus started that we can be mobile and take around to different parts of the city on different parts of the day of the month so people can utilize to take a shower. I want to try and figure out a way to put washers and dryers so we can have them taking showers while they're washing their clothes. And then maybe have a little closet for people who really don't have anything so they can go in and get themselves a nice outfit so they can feel like, you know, I know we all have that feeling when we get out of the shower and we get dressed like, oh, yeah, I feel good. Look at me. And I just want to be able to give them that because they deserve that. Sometimes when you're homeless and you don't have anything, you tend to forget, like, you're a person. You just want to be loved. You just want to feel accepted by people. So I just want to be able to give them that, knowing, like, hey, I'm still loved. I'm a good person. I'm just going through a hard time.
I hope you find a way to actually be able to do that. So have you, you said a little bit ago that you all are seeing an increase in numbers. How many of these people would you say might be illegal immigrants crossing the border right now?
I don't have that many clients who aren't of Caucasian or African American descent. I'm not gonna lie, probably from my caseload, I have like 60 people, and I would say it's probably about 60-40 ratio between Caucasian and black homelessness versus not any other minority. Not saying they're not out there, because I do know we have had a few other minorities, but most of my clients are either of Caucasian color or African American.
It might sound horrible to say it this way, but hopefully it kind of stays that way, because I don't believe Kentucky is a sanctuary state.
All right.
But, is that pretty much all you wanted to say on the subject?
Yeah. I mean, I would love to hear, like, if people have any ideas or suggestions. And also, we are always accepting donations for the PATH team. If you want to get in contact with Proof or somebody, they can get in contact with me. We are always accepting, like, goodie bags to hand out to people, hygiene bags, anything that shoes, pants, clothes of any sort. I'm always looking to help, whether it be our team or, like, I have clothes right now for the Mary Magdalene House downtown because they need clothes for people. But, yes, donations are always a plus and are always well useful, and they always go to all the organizations between that we utilize. Like, we are, like, one networking resource. Like, I use a lot of places, and a lot of places use us.
Well, thank you then for coming on the show and letting people see a part of society they probably don't actually get to hear about much.
You are welcome. Thank you for allowing me to come on and talk about it. This is actually fun. Not as nervousing as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I know you were probably freaking out like I was the first time I came on.
What? Well, have a good night, and I'm going to finish listening to the show.
Thank you, and have a good night. So
ladies, I wanted to let you, I let you interview your friend, so I just sat back. I wanted you to get that experience in.
Okay, thank you. I was kind of thinking maybe you would jump in with some questions, too. At one point, but
right.
But on that subject of what she mentioned, again, how things are getting bad, but I'll bring up again, Janet Yellen had just recently talked about how America is basically about to default on all of our debt if they don't reach the glass ceiling and raise it higher.
Yeah, but we've been told that a bunch of other times. It's just their petty way of arguing, and they expect McCarthy to just fold at some point, and Brandon has to do nothing. If Brandon was really that worried about it, he'd already be speaking up and trying to get a deal done. He just feels that he could sit back, and if they don't pass his budget with. He gets an open book to raise the ceiling as much as he wants, and if he doesn't get it, then they could just blame Republicans. That's his goal.
Well, that's exactly what Biden on Wednesday made the comment last week. Republican MAGA extremists are literally not figuratively, sorry, I was getting a phone call, holding the economy hostage by threatening to default on our nation's debt. This is what Biden himself has said. He is blaming Republicans. Biden himself isn't willing to actually work with any of them everything I've been reading
so far.
Well,
that's the Democrat goal, babe, to stand your ground and don't give up an inch and expect them to cave on everything. That's how you win.
They're trying to do the blame game, and I want to know how many people are still falling for this blame game. Because they want to say, oh, well, Republicans are basically trying to destroy our nation, but it's not like that when your actual Democratic president, whatever you want to call him, is not
trying to do anything. It's either you're going to give me what I want or we're going to default. We default, which is something we haven't done since, when it was, like, 1800?
Hey, the government shut down for a little bit while Trump was president. I think it was like 37 days or something.
Is that the same thing as, I mean, that wouldn't be default, though, would it? Or fall under the same category?
In a sense.
I feel like you land fine.
If you can't pay the bills, then you get shut down for a while, and then eventually a deal is made.
So you expect that's probably what's coming our way next?
Yeah. If it was that serious, Brandon would already be trying to get ahead of it, but he doesn't care.
No, but I know...
They already know the rule that the Republicans will just cave.
I don't see it that way. I feel like this is going to be rams just butting heads nonstop, and we're going to watch our economy just...
Yes. Shut that government down. I don't care. You'll stay by.
I agree with you. And maybe we can actually do something that's away from the central digital banking stuff, but I don't know. Maybe they're going to use that to try and usher it in.
Well, the Fed coin's not ready till July 25th, so it would be a little too early for that.
At least roughly like a month. So that might be during the time period that they decide to shut down, but I know Janet Yellen would be...
Well, they would shut down around June 8th.
Okay. That's still not very long away from here. What? Why are they trying to ban chocolate milk? I mean, it's not healthy for you. Sorry, I just saw that, and I was like, what?
Oh, you saw the article I want to go into.
Yes.
So some cities are also trying to start, like, meatless Mondays and vegan Fridays. So they say that chocolate and other flavored milks have too many sugars in them.
I can't entirely disagree with that, but at the same time, they're pushing vegan Mondays. Some people don't have that kind of diet. And you can...
Well, but here's the thing, though, is that they're really, for that small of container for milk, there's really not much different in sugar. It's not like regular milk has no sugar in it. As somebody that spent about 3 months away from sugar to heal a bone infection, I read sugars on a lot of stuff. And regular milk has a ton of sugar in its own. There's not much of a difference in sugar between chocolate milk and regular milk.
So then I'm guessing they're not putting normal milk on the ban then.
No. If they really wanted to cut down the sugar, they would be offering almond milk. There is a chocolate almond milk. I forget if it's Silk or somebody else that makes it. But that has less sugar than just regular vitamin D milk.
And to an extent, probably healthier for you in different ways. But milk is still going to give you other vitamins. Well, not saying it's not healthy. But, yeah, I would agree. If they wanted to make things healthier, they would go to a substitute from, as you said, almond milk, which I actually used to drink some. I don't remember the brand I used to drink, though. It has been a minute. But what else are they trying to do to school lunches. I mean, they already basically gutted them under the Michelle or Mike regime.
Yeah.
I mean, the food, I don't know. Back when you were going to school, the food probably was actually really good. I don't know, but I know when I was, a lot of it tasted horrible.
Oh, pizza day now is like, if you want to punish the kids, you feed them pizza.
Right? It's like plasticky. I remember I used to actually put my salad that I would get with the pizza on the pizza, so that way it would be better. On pizza day.
Yeah. Yeah, if you think that chocolate milk is bad, scroll down and you'll see what New York City offers on Fridays.
Do I want to see this?
I have no clue what that even is.
I'm scrolling down. I don't... Let's see. Black beans, spinach, and I think a tortilla wrap.
You sure that's spinach?
No, that could also be like hair you got out of a drain. Like, it looks disgusting. The beans look disgusting.
Oh, I'll go with you that that's probably black beans. But that looks more like collard greens than spinach, but I don't know, and I have no clue what that wrap thing is. I don't think it's a tortilla. If it is, that would make no sense.
No, because that's not vegan. They actually, vegans try to avoid egg and milk or things, anything that even touches those products they try to avoid, and you need like eggs and flour and stuff in order to make tortillas. Or tortilla shells, anyway. I don't know.
That looks so unappealing.
These school systems. Of course it's New York.
Yeah, but it's liberal.
When are they going to get rid of this mayor? He is doing... nothing good. The last one did nothing good. So they're going to start feeding the kids junk, like actual not real food from what it looks like, and they're allowing possible predators to live in their gym with absolutely, they're only getting like one more extra security guard for 700 kids out of how many migrants they're moving into the gym. That just sounds like you should be moving out of New York and homeschooling your kids. And if they were
sorry,
really
I was
worried...
I was trying to see where you were going. I thought maybe there was something bad in there.
Oh. It's just reality, and that's what's sad, is that... how do I want to word this? Not only are their schools being invaded, they're feeding them garbage. This is straight up an attack on children. And how do you destroy a nation? By destroying the children. Without them, we don't have hope. We don't have a future. I guess that's how I want to say that, and they're flat out.
Let me put it this way. Now, the goal in the United States is to make Americans, the military, our whole nation has to be woke. Meanwhile, you have China, you have Russia, you have all these other nations that are rising up and empowering their men. They want them to act like more men. Like even more manly. So, and effeminate male or someone that doesn't know what bathroom to use is not going to win in a war.
No,
that's just
they're
going to
be
line.
Offended.
Yes.
Do you think that the draft would come back if we end up in war with China?
I think we would surrender rather easily.
A scary thing to say I think I agree with you on, because the amount of people who are getting sick from the death jab, the amount of people who just don't want to support the military at all, which I can't say I, at one point in time, I was on that side, but not out of I don't want to support the military. I did not like the policies that they were being sent out to other countries to basically be police. I guess that's where I would differ on that, but
I just think that we're going to get to a point where you have several different ethnicities that believe it's their time to conquer America. Everybody was promised that they would get to have America, except for us. So is it China's America? Is it South America's America? Is it the Middle East?
We're supposed to be a melting pot, but yeah, they. This day and age, you wouldn't think war like that would go on, and yet that is exactly what we're in.
Hey,
I
they're all
know.
Bringing in their military age men into the country to start cells, so it's they could plot.
I think that plotting has been going on for a lot longer than just them coming in now, though. They're,
and all they have to worry about is just a few of us that still have our Second Amendments. The second they try to get rid of the Second Amendments, that's it. That means they're ready.
Well, with all the mass shootings that are supposedly going on right now, not supposedly, people are getting killed, but these mass shootings that are going on, I really do believe these are red flags, and they have been amping up in the last, like, 2-3 weeks. I think they're trying their hardest to take that next step to get the amendment.
They're trying to build up this whole white supremacist idea, which if we saw when Brandon brought that up at that Howard University, that later that same day they had a few hundred feds that were dressed up in the blue shirt, the khaki pants, and they're all wearing the same scams over their face.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, patriots don't wear scams. Just a heads up.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, no, if they had the flag upside down too, if I remember correctly, and I'm sitting there and I'm like,
yeah. No
woman who actually supports America. Well, I understand flag upside down is supposed to mean we're in distress type thing. No one is going to have that flag upside down. As you said, no one's going to be wearing those things on their face.
Yeah, but if we don't expose that those are feds out there trying to provoke something, because if they can get something provoked, then they can go after everybody that they feel is a political threat.
Which will basically be anybody who disagrees.
Everybody in the United States, yeah.
Any of them that are actually aware of what's going on. I truly believe there will be some people who are bowing down to them and be like, you've been so oppressed. You're not part of our nation, but hey, you've been oppressed somehow. We are sorry.
Yeah, and if we don't wake enough people up by the time they do that, then yeah, we can... Brandon is looking forward to having a war with China, with Russia, and the United States all at the same time.
And it's so funny because, not funny in a ha-ha way necessarily, but they said this is what Trump was going to do to us during his presidency, and he did not at all go to war with anybody. He put a stop to it, actually. He's the only president we've had since I've been alive, and I'm 30, that hasn't gone to war.
Well, he's the first president since I've been alive, and I'm 50.
That's saying a lot. I mean, How many years, then, has it been that America has been at war instead of peace? We were to think about that. Like 100-something years of our basically still budding civilization?
Well, most of our nation time has been in war. Whether it's an invasion, whether it's a war, whether it's occupying somebody.
Yeah, that
we're,
part.
We're constantly that police.
Yeah, I don't understand how other nations have allowed us to be in their countries with our military bases. Like, I do understand to an extent some of them are our allies and they want us there for protection, but at the same time, you've got to see by now that these people are not being used as protection. They're being used for a completely different reason.
Well, that's because we pay good money towards those nations in order to have that.
Oh, I'm going to get tired of saying you're right someday.
Well, I wish I wasn't right. I wish we could have debate and have callers and stuff, but I'm not wrong.
No, you're not at all. Because right now, all I can see is something that I've tried to point out to people. We have military bases, and at the time when I was arguing with this person, I think it was like 151 different places on Earth. Like, that's all of our military men that are not at home right now. They're all out being completely open. And if they wanted to, we could be invaded extremely easily because
we
don't
have
our military. Yep. But, again, with the Second Amendment, which I had someone telling me sometime last week, I was going to mention it last week, but we didn't have the show, told me that if gun owners don't do something about all the mass shootings, they're taking our guns away. And I was like, try it, please. Like, that's, we're not the problem. It is criminals.
Oh, but
that,
that's the goal. If they got the guns, they can get everything else. That's the stumbling block to the one world government is taking our guns away. And if they can get that Fed group to go ahead and whatever they're going to do, and then they could justify a gun ban out of it, then that's checkmate.
And, again, I think that is exactly why we see all of these shootings happening. And then you have people, the man on the train, he wasn't even shot, but you have people out there, Black Lives Matter, arguing for this person who, while yes, had mental health issues, he was threatening people. They don't even show you at the end of it.
His time when he, all those crimes he commits, and then because they don't do cash bail, that they just give him tickets.
Yeah, and he had over, 42 different things on his record, from assault, kidnapping, endangerment of a child, all of these different things. But you have people out there who are, I don't even know what they're trying to do. There's no justice to be had. The person that did the right thing was the military man who stepped in. And he's not the only man. They want to make it a race thing. But I think it was at least one black man actually stood in to try and hold this guy down too, because he was making threats. Back onto the gun topic. Sorry, I don't know why I got sidetracked there. That just popped up.
That's okay.
But this person I was talking to about this, telling me they're going to take our guns if gun owners don't do something. Again, I tried to argue with them, but like, logic does not go through these people's brains. Is all I can say. It is not a gun owner that is doing this. It is an illegal, or not an illegal, it is a criminal doing these things. Although Texas and Florida, I believe Florida recently, their two shootings that just happened were illegal. People who were undocumented, one of them came over here under Obama's administration when he was a, I think he was a teenager, the one in Texas. And they're just, they want to blame it on gun owners. And it's like, that's, no, we have the Second Amendment to protect ourselves against those people. And then you can sit there and show them video after video where people inside restaurants, the owners or even convenience stores, where these people are using guns to protect themselves. And they're like, well, it's the wild, wild west out here. And it's like, no. I mean, yes and no. It is in the sense that we're protecting ourselves with our rights. And you want to take that away. So then what is this, what is the store owner supposed to do next time someone decides they want to come in there and try to shoot them for 40, 50 bucks? You just want them to take it? You want them to die to a criminal because you want to take away our rights? And you never get any answer. They just go cold or tell you you're a stupid Republican or something. And it's like, no, this is an American issue. This is not Republican or Democrat. This is American. That's another thing. I saw a video recently where people were sitting there and they are getting upset because the anthem, national anthem, started playing inside of this restaurant. I think it was a restaurant. It might have been a stadium. And people stood up for the anthem. And it's like younger kids making videos like, this is like cult-like stuff. Like, oh my God, I'm so scared. It's like, you have no pride for your country. And you get on the nationalist topic, and it's like, no, having pride in your country does not mean you are a crazy nationalist. It means you have pride where you live. You want it to stay a good place. You actually genuinely love it. But the generation now, they see it as a problem, which tells me the indoctrination in our school is deep. And again, criminals are going to commit these acts, not law-abiding citizens. Just got to keep saying that because I don't understand why people don't.
Yeah, but you're forgetting that
they're liberal. I know.
Well, you're forgetting that you think they care about us.
But if they're American, shouldn't they? They should care. But yeah, you're right. They don't care about law-abiding citizens. They just, you don't care about the kids being shot? I do. Why don't we get some security guards in there that actually can protect them? Or how about we train some teachers to actually go in and be able to protect them? And then they make the argument, well, they shouldn't have to do that. Well, it's not our fault that crazy people are going in and shooting up schools. That is a random person, maybe not so random in some cases, but that is a person going out there making this decision. And if you want to be a teacher, I'm sorry you have to deal with that right now, but our society is apparently going insane. And if people don't want to realize that, well, then you're just going to have more of it. But then you want to penalize people who are saying, give us more guards, put more people in there to actually protect them. I don't know. They want to say we're sacrificing the kids because we love our guns. Like, no, if we could be in there. Like the one situation with the, Texas, the one where they were holding parents back for like 30 minutes before anyone even went into the school. Uvalde, I believe. If they had allowed some of those people to go in there, I guarantee you at least one of them was a gun owner. It's Texas. They worship guns there. But they held them back. They held parents back. If that is not a big wake-up call to what our society is degrading into, I don't know what else it is. But then again, there are people who are more concerned with the fact that dressing like a woman and putting shoes and lipstick on makes them women. Screw Will, woman. I want to use this bathroom. If you don't let me, I'll shoot you. I'll tell my people we'll get guns.
I'm going to say this every day if I have to. If you're a dude that dresses up as a woman and you have no intention on transitioning your genitalia to female stuff, then you're not a trans. You're just dressing.
A cross-dresser.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to be trans, own it.
I completely agree on that. I really do want to know, why is it that you wearing heels and lipstick and stuff make you a woman, but me being born as one with an actual uterus doesn't? But that's off the topic I was talking about. I mean, it is and it isn't. Dang it. Distracted myself.
Well, and then look at that Bud Light. Not the Bud Light, but the Miller Light. Miller Light is trying to outdo Bud Light. It's a race to the bottom. I guess this is a backhanded way to make people stop drinking beer.
Maybe not entirely a terrible thing, but I actually haven't seen that video yet.
And I've never been a beer drinker. I think the smell of beer is one of the nastiest smells ever.
I agree. I have an uncle who had severe issues from being an alcoholic for a portion of his time, and then he was so addicted to alcohol that he gave it up, but then he started drinking non-alcoholic beer because he liked the taste. And to this day, I don't understand it. I still don't understand it. I agree. I can't stand the smell or taste. If I do drink, which is extremely, extremely rare occasion, I'm going with, you know, like an actual liquor or whiskey or vodka, like something that doesn't, look. But why would they, though, a serious question on this, why, after they saw how the Bud Light is, and I know that Miller stuff has had to skyrocket since Bud Light has dropped.
Here's the thing. This commercial was put out before Bud Light went through their stuff, and it just was such a bad commercial that nobody watched it and nobody paid attention until now.
Oh, so Miller already did this.
Miller got
maybe
lucky. Miller got lucky that they didn't get found out before Bud Light. And now that commercial that they put together is gaining traction because of what Bud Light did. So they're in it together now.
Oh, I'm curious. Every time I've been going to the store the last couple of weeks and I'll go past like the alcohol aisle, it's basically been Miller or other brands that were sold out, and Busch hasn't been touched. Bud Light, I mean, hasn't been touched. And
they earned their reputation.
Oh.
The United States sees Bud Light as tranny fluid, so they're not buying it.
No, they're not. Well, that's not entirely true. I have a couple family members who still drink it, but different strokes, I suppose. I just know I'm excited to see.
Yeah, but that's their right to lose billions of dollars a week. They enjoy it, so Miller Lite is going to join them.
I'm genuinely excited to be able to go into the stores and see all the Millers stacked up now. That would be fun.
So, yeah, with the Miller Lite, they're basically saying that women created Miller Lite. We're getting rid of all the advertising in the past that that objectified women, and it's time to give women their credit for creating beer.
How do I want to respond to that one?
Thing is, they could have done a very pro-woman campaign. And if they would have done it right, then it would have been celebrated because, hey, look, Miller Lite is finally standing up and saying what a woman is. But they went the woke route instead. The thing is that you can't crap all over your fan base.
Now, not only did they do that, Bud Light specifically, they continue to drill it in, like the CEOs and stuff. They didn't offer an apology, and what they did offer was obviously not even a we're sorry, just a, okay, get over it, drink us again, please.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how, it excites me to see when companies have decided to just destroy themselves.
Well, what, this year you had Disney destroy themselves, you had Budweiser, you have Miller, you have Fox News.
Did you see
to a lesser extent, Bed Bath & Beyond went out of business.
Mm-hmm. Did you see, out of curiosity, was it Project Veritas or James O'Keefe? I forget which one.
Yes,
I follow
O'Keefe.
Both of them. So it might have been the O'Keefe Media Group. They shared a video of someone who worked for Fox, and he flat out said, well, getting rid of Tucker was part of the deal, and then denied it when it was O'Keefe. Okay, so when he called them to talk about it, they denied it. They was just like, well, yeah, I'll talk, but I never said that. It's on camera that you did.
Yeah.
And by the way, anyone listening, the O'Keefe Media Group is actually volunteering. Like, they're going to be sending out cameras and stuff to people who want to actually get involved with being an undercover citizen journalist. So if that tickles anybody's fancy, they're there to help you figure it out.
In some cities now, believe it or not, Newsmax has more watchers than CNN or Fox News in a day. In some cities, Newsmax is more than Fox and CNN.
I'm excited to hear that because Newsmax has actually come through with real stories. And it's so nice to see the fake news media is slowly dying.
Well, they chose to. Fox chose it upon themselves. They didn't have to.
No, but again, in that video, they're paid by Pfizer, so they had to. Because he was outing Ray Epps. He was showing the actual video footage of January 6th. So they had to get rid of him because he was part of their problem.
No, I get that, but they didn't have to, quote-unquote. It wasn't like they had a gun to their head. They decided to do that. They decided it was in their best interest to lose all of their ratings and all of their credibility to hold the party line.
How corrupt and just completely biased and bought out do you have to be to not even care about the bottom line, the money, none of it? I don't understand how you can claim to be a journalistic company and then do no integrity for journalism. They basically just shack upon it.
Well, all these woke companies, they might feel that we're at the end of the line here for humanity, so they're going out sad.
Oh, I hope we're not at the end of the line for humanity. But I don't know, the way things are going, we might be if people don't start doing something.
Well, you'll know that if they pass something that says we're taking the guns away, and if we don't stand up for that, then that's it. We're not going to stand up for anything.
It hurts my stomach to think about that. That's probably coming very soon, in all actuality.
They'll probably take the guns away before they ban cash.
You think we will see that before that, or before cash?
Yeah, because if they ban money and make everybody go digital, then people will have the guns. They'd fight back. But if they ban guns first, then you won't have anything to fight back with.
That makes sense.
It's easier to label people gun nuts than money nuts.
Oh.
Can you imagine them going on TV and laughing at those idiots that have maybe $15,000 in cash and they're mad because they're going to get arrested if they try to use it?
No, I don't think I'd be one of the people to laugh at them for that. I think I'd be one of the people.
Oh, I'm not saying we will. I'm saying that the media will spin it like that. And then you'll have those people that will, well, I gave up my cash. Why can't you?
Oh, God. That reminds me of the people who are like, I gave up my guns because it's going to help. Oh, God. Yep, I could see that happening. I never thought I'd see someone give up their guns.
I bought scams so I could help everyone else.
What I want to say to those people every single time who still wear them to this day is no, you're doing it to virtue signal and you are fearful. But okay, keep
saying
that.
Oh, they're not scared of anything. It's a political symbol. So at this point, if there's no COVID emergency, they're not scared of anything. Otherwise, they wouldn't be leaving the house. They're out there to prove that they're Democrats.
Probably. I still feel there is a portion of these people who are scared. I mean, look at China. The majority of those people wear masks all the time. And I don't know if that is because of the pollution, or is it something that they are mandatory?
Well, I don't think that we're in that boat yet here.
Oh, I pray not.
And the people that wear scams nowadays are few and far between.
You know, I wish I could say the same here, but no, out here for some reason, I'm going into the store and still seeing at least one person in where I'm going wearing one. Or
yeah, but you're not seeing five down every single aisle. You will see your one or two families or people in the store wearing scams, but it's not like it was.
No, you are right on that end. I can agree with. So it is pretty much as virtue signaling then that they're still trying to do. Oh, I just don't. If it were that way, then does that mean the mask scams are no different than the Nazi symbol to an extent?
You could say that. It's a political party. It's a political symbol.
You know one thing that's bad about...
Which is why you know that front group is a bunch of feds, because if they think that people wear scams that are not Democrat, they're 100% wrong.
If anyone believes those people out there marching are actual Republicans or actual, quote, patriots...
I don't think I don't think the people that need to see it have seen it. They'll just wait for it to be a real thing.
Oy.
But I will say, not every Democrat wears a scam, but every scam wearer is a Democrat.
I think I'd have to agree. But then that starts the
argument. I don't think I've talked to one Republican voter this year that wore a scam.
I know, living in Kentucky, I've had to see plenty of people that were, but I don't know if they are now. If they are, I'm very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm concerned anyways just for the fact that they're still wearing them, even though we know there have been multiple studies released. Australia released a study sometime into the beginning of the second part of it, where they, for like 2 weeks, had it where people had to wear the scams on their face, and then they took the infectious rate from them, and then for 2 weeks after that, no one wore one, and they found out it was the same infection rate. They do nothing.
One of my favorite things is if you go to a restaurant and they give you the waitress that the only waitress that's wearing a scam, I like to say, no thanks, I'll wait. Just wait for the next table.
Yeah, I don't. I haven't had that situation come up, surprisingly. Oh.
I got no problem doing that.
No, completely understandable, because if you're going to be giving a tip, or heck, if you want someone who's actually going to be on the ball, not saying the person wearing that on their face isn't going to be on the ball, but people who tend to wear them more often are literally cutting oxygen off to their brain. You don't know if they're going to forget something you ordered.
Well, not just that, but I will say that people who are not Democrats tend to be more friendly than people that are Democrats. And as someone, as a waiter or waitress, you get your tips off your personality. And if you're scam wearing, you're basically a robot at that point. And I want to give somebody a tip for doing a good job and making me feel welcome. I don't want somebody that acts like a robot.
Understandable. And then also, you can't even see if they're smiling behind that thing, for all you know.
Right, exactly. And I hate when somebody's scam wearing and you have to ask them to repeat what they said twice. If I can't hear you after twice I said I can't hear you, and I still don't get it, I just move on. You can't sit there and ask them 12 times to repeat themselves.
Part of me would, just to prove how ridiculous it is that they're still wearing that thing. But I'm a bit of an instigator. That's just me. but no, you're not wrong. So many times during this whole thing, I've had to ask, well, during the pandemic more so, I've had to ask people, as you said, multiple times, what did you say? I didn't really hear you. And you can't hear them. And it would be funny because some of them would take the mask off just to talk to you. And then it, they put it back on. It's like, why?
Yeah, well, now it's not even an emergency, but they would rather mumble than to talk clear to you. So why bother?
I really don't know. So, yeah, I guess it does make sense not to take that person as your waiter or waitress because you're probably going to have trouble hearing them anyways.
So, yeah.
And then you have no idea if they're judging you for not wearing one, but if the majority of people aren't wearing one, then what's the point or the problem? I don't.
Well, some of the people feel like they're a better person because they're double scammed.
Oh, scammed and death jabbed.
Well, people love their gene therapies.
Yeah, and I've been doing my best to try to avoid pork, since we know that it is definitely in the pork currently. I've heard people undercover videos, maybe not even undercover necessarily, but actual ones where it's the FDA and all that, and they're talking about, I've put this stuff into my cattle, and I've sent it off to slaughter. And now I've got another thing, cattle, and they're getting it too. And that was a 2 months ago.
Yeah, you have to know your local farms. That's the thing. You have to know your local farms. If you know your local farm, you'll be okay. If not, and you're relying on mega corporations, and there are companies like Whole Paycheck and Costco that have admitted that they are using Bill Gates' appeal, which is they're saying it's an organic produce mold inhibitor, if you will. But there's all kinds of chemicals in that. And that's not even counting the fact that there could be gene therapies with the mRNAs.
Also take into account, if it's coming from Bill Gates at all, the fruit or whatever the produce is itself is probably also mutated. He bought he is the number one holder of farmland in America right now. He has facilities where they are mutating animals. They're mutating all the food. Meanwhile, we've had in the last 5-6 months, like 1,900 American-based food production facilities all just blow up. Two of them with a plane. All the rest are, fire calls. The sprinklers didn't go off. That's not normal. Who in their right mind is just accepting this bullcrap? And believing.
Hey, by the way, Bianchi wants to say hi. We'll go ahead and open the mic.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hey,
well,
Bianchi.
Proof, we got rid of that racist St. Louis prosecutor in St. Louis, Kim Gardner.
Yeah.
She's the first black female prosecutor for the city of St. Louis. As soon as she gets elected, she tries to prosecute the Republican governor, Eric Greitens. Then, as far as I'm concerned, what really put the icing on the cake, when she tried to take the guns from the McCloskeys, who was merely protecting their property. So she's gone. She left two weeks early. And that's what we have to do. We have these people like herself in other positions, go after them and get rid of them. So she's gone.
I'm
I hear she's going to be a nurse. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I figured she'd get her golden parachute to do whatever. Now do Alvin Bragg.
Yep. We work on it hard enough. We can do that too. And like I said, if they had it done correct as far as the handing out the sentencing with the guy that got killed on the, lost his life on the subway, he wouldn't have been there for the things that he done. So slowly but surely, we get rid of them one at a time. Anyway, that's what I wanted to pass the information on.
What about the one in Chicago? That one's not going anytime soon, right?
Chicago is filled with so much corruption. Kim Fox is, and you know, she came down to St. Louis to stand alongside of Kim Gardner, her, Mosley, I think, from Baltimore. You had the squad to stand alongside Kim Gardner and say that what was happening to her was racist. So what do you think what happened to the McClouses? What do we call that? Howdy doody? So Kim Gardner needs to go too. Has she released the charges on what, about 24,000 felony cases? That many people running around in the city?
Yeah, if you're getting rid of people's charges on crimes because of the color of their skin and enforcing other crimes because of the colors of their skin, then that's not what's called blind justice. That's called racist justice.
That's right. Justice is peeking out from underneath the blindfold when it comes down to them. So, you know, time will tell, but it will come out in our favor. We just got to keep pressing and working hard.
I'm just fed up with this, though, where they feel as though it's racist to put black people in jail for doing something, but it's not racist to throw the book and give extra crimes for someone based on their skin color.
Well, just like the report that Durham put out today, there's a whole lot of charges that need to be gone over. It need to be dished out all around. But it's not.
Yeah, but the whole world knows nothing's going to happen.
And that's the shameful part of it. Something needs to be happening. These people need to be prosecuted to the greatest extent of the law.
Which,
and put in
I'm late. Glad you called, Bianchi, because legitimate question. So what if they throw the book at Hunter? Can Brandon, even though Brandon's involved, can he pardon his son?
I doubt. I think he would. He could. If he's prosecuted.
Even though he's also implicated, he would be able to. Because you can't pardon yourself, can you?
I don't think you can.
Okay.
It would have to take another president.
Just a thought here where if the crime is, Hunter, you and your father were caught doing X, the father can't come in and say, okay, I'm commuting my son's crime that he did along with me. That just doesn't sound right. I'm sure you're right that he could commute the sentence, but that just sounds wrong, doesn't it?
It's a lot of things that are coming out of this Biden administration, and Joe Biden himself has been for quite some time, that not only sound wrong, but look wrong and smell wrong.
Right.
It just goes to show you.
Are there any laws for stopping nepotism happening with the president?
Yeah, not really.
That's a loophole, not even a loophole, but that's definitely problematic.
Well,
I'll let you guys get back to your show.
All right, Bianchi, thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir.
I like having a caller. But no. So we really do not have anything to stop this from happening if he did get in trouble. It's supposed
not
to
really.
Be Hunter. You know, that shouldn't shock me. Kind of does. But it shouldn't. So, in all of these reports that have been coming out recently, from Marjorie Taylor Greene all the way up to Durham himself, and, was it Comer, I believe?
Comey?
Maybe.
Don't confuse Comer with Comey.
That's hard for my brain not to do.
Comer is a Republican congressperson. Comey is the dude that was okay with the Russia garbage.
That's probably why both of their names. So Comey actually went on and was talking about how they have, at the very least, 9 Biden family members.
Yes.
All involved, up to possibly 12, involved in this. So if
yes.
Biden himself is involved with it, isn't that impeachable?
It's supposed to be, but who do you get to impeach them? That's the question, because that's what Merrick Garland is for, to play defense. That's all the Department of Justice's job is right now, is to play defense.
The DOJ, I'm sorry, has been a joke for a very long time, if we're going to be honest about that. They're involved with lying on top of the CIA, on top of the FBI. They're involved.
Yeah.
So involved, we need to just destroy them. We need a new system. We need them not to be involved.
Well,
I don't even know.
I have hope that after everything that they did to Trump, that Trump might have learned some lessons.
How to avoid those same things, or maybe who to go at, or if he does make it in. But, I mean, then I bring back, if 2020 isn't fixed, how is 2024 going to happen? Because that just tells me, oh, well, it's just going to be rigged and illegal again. But then you also have to think, at least the way my mind goes with this, the military has to know this. There's absolute proof. There's 2,000 mules. There's no way that the military did not have this information on the night of the election. So what is going on?
Well, I'll say it again. The only way that we can win without fraud is Trump needs 100 million votes. Anything less than 100 million, they'll come in and say Brandon was the first one to get 100 million. There's only so many voters in America. You can go over the total, but if there's 140 million voters, as an example, you can't have Trump with 102 and Brandon with 105. You could go over a little bit, but you wouldn't be able to go over like 65 million.
No, and
so that's the goal here. So Trump needs 100 million in order to secure the spot. Otherwise, they'll steal it.
I mean, he had, supposedly, if everything we've seen is true, he had 80 million last time.
Yeah.
So he just needs 20 more million, hopefully. Everything that has been going on.
What did Trump have, 75, 76?
Something
that we're not
like
throwing
that.
Away?
Oh, I really don't remember, to be quite honest, on that end. I remember still thinking, like, how did Biden get more? It made no sense. The man didn't even campaign. He didn't answer questions.
The thing is, though, is that that election was too close. Trump needed to have blown him out. Because if it's less than 10%, they can come in and do whatever manipulations. But if Trump wins, say, 100 million votes to 50, they can't just duplicate Brandon's numbers to make that 100 million. That would be impossible. But if it's close, like it was, they can throw 10 million votes and to go a certain direction. But they wouldn't be able to do 20, 30, 50 million. That's too many. So Trump has to blow it out of the water or else forget it.
Oh, and that's still... Do you think he'll get that? Because I don't know. With the way things have been going personally, I feel like people are either going to feel defeated and not want to go vote.
I don't know if there's going to be that many. I think that at the end of the day, Trump will get those people that voted for him 4 years ago and all the people that wish they voted for him 4 years ago. Can he theoretically pick up 25 million votes? That's the question.
Very good question, too. Especially with all of these illegal immigrants that have come over the border now that have invaded us, especially in places like New York, where we're actual... Back during 2020, some people who came out whistleblowers in New York talked about how they had immigrants show up there, and in California, they didn't speak English, but they had the quote-unquote proper paperwork to prove they were allowed to vote. But you had the poll workers admitting people who were like bilingual, they heard some of these poll workers sit there telling these people, okay, you go vote Biden. That's who you vote for. So if this is now happening again, and we have been invaded by probably one of the biggest armies to ever lay siege to America, which, make no mistake, that is what this is. How do we stop that? Because we can see that it is 100% where this deal is probably going to be coming from. I guess maybe that's where I feel like a lot of it's going to be coming from anyways.
Yeah.
Because if you have more people there who bilingual, well, actually they might do something to try and keep the bilingual people out of there so they can just have people who don't know whatever language this person's speaking and people who do know, and have those people telling these people, this is who you vote for. I think their mess up was that they allowed the person that was bilingual to work on their voting committee, the voter polls, not committee, and they overheard this. So I guess actually how we stop this is getting more bilingual people in the poll centers to be able to say, no, like step up and say, this is wrong on election day. Not after, but on the day. And at that point, they're not allowed to interfere with who people vote for. These people are somehow leaving, but they're being coerced to vote for this person that is who you could technically call the police at that point, because that's an election trying to be stolen. And, or maybe the sheriff, not the police. The sheriffs care more about, are supposed to be there more for us. From my understanding, between sheriff and police anyway. Could be wrong on that. I don't think I am. And that video I'm referencing, it was a while ago. If you want me to look for it, I will. Make no promises. That was a while ago. I guess, yeah, bothering little people out there. Maybe one thing we can do to try and step up safety of our elections is doing that, is going out there and listening, making sure people are not being told how to do this, told what to do. As it's really the only thing I really got to say on that is maybe that's how we fight back a little bit. At the very
well, the thing with the Democrat Party, though, is that they, anything that, where you have to make your own decision, that's bad.
I'm going to say you're not wrong there, because, again, as I said, one day I'm going to get sick of this, but I apparently not. When I was growing up, I was just told, vote blue, basically, by my family. They're like, well, they're blue, so they're better. They're not these racist bigots, even though blue is the one that started the KKK and all of that. But we're not taught that anymore. That's hidden and swept under the rug. So, yeah, you're not entirely wrong on that at all. People will just, oh, they're blue. This is how my family votes. Okay, I vote for them, even though I don't know anything about their policies. I don't know anything they stand for, because that is a lot of what of our politics have been turned into to quite an extent over the last half century or so. People don't even know what they stand for. They don't know what their candidates stand for. They just vote because of the party anymore. So then again, the third parties. I do believe there are a lot of people voting for third parties. But I believe third parties are having their stuff stolen just the same as the other elections. It's just one big, giant mess, and I don't entirely know if we know where to start to clean it. Especially without the government being there to do its own job. But then you also have, they want to rewrite and change our Constitution. That Constitution is the only thing on this planet that ensures humans have a right to live as humans should. Not even Americans at this point, because people come here to escape oppression from their other countries. And I'm not talking about the illegal immigrants.
Can you imagine that liberals in about 6 to 9 months will be arguing that you're specious because you believe in humans still living? That you need to be part of the community that believes in death of humans.
It just makes me think of the Elon Musk thing where he was talking to someone about that and about humanity, and they called him a specious.
Yes. That was Noah Harari.
If I get called a specious, I think I would just laugh at the person. I don't think I'd be able to control myself. In all honesty, I would laugh. And I'd be like, what species are you? Are you telling me you're not human? Because if not, why are you on this planet? How'd you get here? Show me your homework, because what? Oh, God. I can already see I would probably turn that into a big argument just from laughing. That shouldn't be something that makes me laugh, but Bring it on. Call me a species. I stand up for humans. Oh, God.
All right, so any more last-minute stuff before we get out of here?
I mentioned Janet Yellen earlier. Okay. Italy is working on actually becoming one of the first countries to ban lab-grown meat, which I applaud them. We need more of that here. Oh, the movie that I spoke of before with Jim Caviezel, that he's playing Tim Ballard, you can go to angel.com/SOS, Sound of Freedom. That movie is where you can buy your tickets for opening weekend. So that movie is coming out in July. July 4th, I believe, is its premiere date. So if anyone wants to see, like, this, again, this movie is based on real life, real stories about people fighting human trafficking and child trafficking. I'm not sure if it's going to mention the Miss Universe contestant who was involved with one of the busts that they did, where I don't remember her name. It has been a minute. But this woman was actually part of this child sex trade. Tim Ballard himself, the man Jim Caviezel is going to be playing, spoke of how in one of the raids they did here, they showed up to this place to go and buy these children from them to see that they were actually human traffickers. And he mentioned he had gone into the back to see the children, and at one point, actually, he was approached by one of them, and this kid, maybe, I think he said 7 to 9 years old range, asked him for drugs so he didn't have to steal it. Because that's something he's been through. And that broke my heart. I cannot imagine being a child that young, even knowing that drugs can numb you to pain. What does that do to them as they grow up? They're not going to be all there. They're going to be hurt, and then they're going to continue that cycle, and they're going to hurt, and that's if they even live past all of the drugs, if they even live past being trapped with the people that buy them. Some of them are so brutal, these children do not make it through a session. Others, they just continuously be used and used and used until they're either female and then they get used for breeding purposes, or they're male and they get used for organ trafficking. So I do recommend everyone, if you want to buy a ticket and actually be there for opening weekend, angels.com/SOS.
Okay.
But there's also a way for you to get free tickets if you cannot afford one. I think it's they called it Pay It Forward. Is there anything on your end that you want to say in the last couple of minutes?
Well, we just got the 60-second buzzer, so
okay.
I get to wind everything down here. But thank you for being here, Kayla. We always like having you, and we'll have you again on Tuesday.
All right,
so
thank you.
Everyone else, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here. But until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am Proof.